Dr. Barry Sears. He's the founder of the Inflammation Research Foundation. He's a best-selling author of The Zone and the creator of The Zone Diet. He's a world-acclaimed expert on diet and inflammation. Dr. Sears, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Appreciate you being on the program. It was interesting when the news broke about Paula Deen's diabetes diagnosis. A lot of folks were all over her, and it's believed that this could serve as a cautionary tale for Americans. And what it got me thinking, I'm not trying to defend Paula Deen and her food. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But I wonder how much of this is due to her diet and how much is due to just her body chemistry.
Well, really a combination of both. That many people who basically develop diabetes, and Paula Deen is really just a poster child because about, we have 25 million diabetics in the country, is that they have a genetic predisposition. What turns that on is the inflammatory aspect of the food we eat. And in this particular case with Paula, she probably had obviously a genetic predisposition, but the food that basically she promoted was exactly the food that would turn on those genes to almost induce with certainty the development of diabetes.
You know, it's interesting. We've been learning a lot, talking with a lot of experts on this program about taking vitamins when you didn't need them or have a previous problem, and that includes aspirin. We just talked with an expert about that. When we talk about food, for example, me and my family used to use dietary supplements and fake sugar and whatnot, but what we've done is we've gone back to real butter instead of margarine, and we use real sugar, but we just try to use them in moderation.
Well, and that's a good policy. Unfortunately, the word moderation is a very slippery slope. So many people say moderation, that basically means what? So one of the problems we have is that it's once you establish dietary habits, it's very hard to change them. As Margaret Mead said 100 years ago, it's easier to change your religion than to change your diet. So here's a good way that if you basically have a really what is called pre-diabetes, which you see get about 10 years before you develop diabetes, of how do you stop it dead in its tracks? And these are all the rules basically your grandmother told you. Basically that at each meal, divide your plate into three equal sections. On one-third of the plate, put some low-fat protein, could be chicken or fish. On the other two-thirds of the plate, you fill it with colorful carbohydrates. Those are called fruits and vegetables. And the last thing you add, you now add fat that's very, very low in omega-6 fatty acids. The best choices would be olive oil, sliver almonds, or guacamole. And surprisingly, butter also falls in that choice as long as you use small amounts of butter. What you're doing is basically controlling the levels of inflammation induced by your diet because it's inflammation that turns on those ancient genes that if you're genetically predisposed is going to make you diabetic.
Dr. Sears, just to clarify diabetes, what is it and what can it lead to?
Well, diabetes is really the inability to regulate sugar. And if you don't control it, what it leads to is amputations, loss of vision, kidneys if they fail. It's a terrible disease, and that's why it's the most costly disease we have in our country. And it's the disease that will really break the backbone of our health care system.
How much of it can be taken care of with a proper diet?
Probably 100%, but you have to intervene quickly. And how do you know if you have prediabetes? It's pretty simple. If you have abdominal obesity, it means you have basically you look like an apple. Or high triglycerides and low HDL or high blood pressure, it says you probably have prediabetes and the clock is ticking. Because the longer you wait and you really that inflammation spreads to the pancreas, then you've got a boatload of problems.
What did you think when you heard Paula Deen was diagnosed with diabetes?
Well, not surprised. Her diagnosis was, coincident with saying, I'm also a spokesperson for a drug to treat diabetes. So that was a little kind of shaky there. But again, she's just simply a poster girl. 25 million people have diabetes. And according to the American Diabetes Association, 80 million people have prediabetes. Now, this is bad enough in its own right, but once you get diabetes, you're 2 to 4 times more likely to get Alzheimer's.
You know, it's interesting, the Food Network programming, and it has just blown up. We even watch that with our kids, and you see shows like Man vs. Food and Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and they're just pouring on the fat and deep fat frying and using butter, and it looks so good, but it's so bad for us.
Well, it is good, but again, if you're really a good chef, you'd really know how to make sauces, and sauces are, you know, can be very low fat and basically make food taste great. But unfortunately, Americans have lost the ability to cook. So everybody watches the Food Network and then orders out the Domino's pizza because that's the cooking skills most Americans have fallen prey to.
Dr. Sears, how often should we be eating red meat, if at all?
I'd say maybe three times a week. Trying to keep most of the protein sources to chicken and fish because, you know, they'll basically be less inflammatory, and that's what's going to turn on those ancient genes.
All right, before I let you go, I saw a recent report that said coffee isn't as bad as had been thought, and that in moderation it could be good for you. Is that true?
Well, in moderation, and that's always a key word, but the reason why coffee could be good for you, it's the source of polyphenols most Americans get. What are polyphenols? Those are the chemicals that give fruits and vegetables their color. If you're not eating any fruits and vegetables, then coffee is basically your fallback position. I'd rather people eat more fruits and vegetables and drink less coffee.
All right, and one more question for you, Dr. Sears. My mother-in-law has a challenge with diabetes, and we got to get on her about her diet. What's the best way, people who are really kind of set in their ways, what can we do to help them with their diet?
It's difficult, but here's the one thing you can do to try to put out the fire, and that's something your grandmother told you. Take your cod liver oil every day.
Really?
Yes.
Cod liver oil.
Disgusting as it is, it's a great source of what are called omega-3 fatty acids, and in high enough concentrations, they can basically reduce the inflammation and reduce the consequences of the diabetes.
All right, Dr. Sears, do you have a website?
Yes, if you go to zonediet.com.
All right, thanks so much, sir.
Thank you.